Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 8. Extremely nervous tonight. I don't know if it's just a buzz in the air or what, but hey, thank God for it. My dad used to tell me when I'd step up on the golf course, when I stepped on the first tee to hit that first drive of that tournament, he said, if you ain't nervous, your heart ain't in it. He said, if there ain't something bubbling up on the inside of you, your heart ain't in it. So I believe that goes the same with preaching, because this is where no man can stand alone. And no man does stand alone. Amen. But y'all, Preacher Tim told me to preach about 25, 30 minutes. And I see Brother Chucky at the back. And, hey, if y'all just shout, scream, holler, and swing from the chandeliers, we'll preach this thing in about 15 minutes.
Come on.
Amen. Now, Chucky going to go get the ladder to swing. Hey, it's good to smile in God's house. Amen.
Amen.
Go with me down to verse number 36. We're going to enter this passage about halfway into this. And very special tonight. Hold to that thought. Very special night tonight. Folks going through the believer's baptism. Amen. Verse number 36. If you found your place, say amen.
Amen.
And as they went on their way, they came unto certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. And we ought to shout on that.
Amen.
And he commanded the chariot to stop. To stand still, meaning to stop. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out, hold that thought, up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy, God. Thank you for what a night, what an honor it is, God, to preach here at Liberty Free Will Baptist under my pastor, Preacher Tim, God. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for him having enough confidence in me to ask me to stand behind this sacred desk, God. I thank you for this special occasion, God, where folks, believers, God, are going through the believer's baptism, God. And God, we say thank you for it, God. And God, tonight, I ask that you give me boldness. God, you give me confidence and clarity when I preach, God. May somebody in this place, God, leave this place different than the way they came. Not because of me, but God, all glory and all honor and all change in a man's life or a woman's, God, be because of you. We love you and we thank you. And all of the church said, amen. You may be seated. I hope this is my water. But we see this passage as to where Philip and God has told him to go to this place, this desert place, and he tells him to go to this specific spot in the desert, and Philip goes not knowing why he's going, not know the reason that he's going. And then we see here, if you was to go back a few verses, that this Ethiopian had been at the temple worshiping, and he is on his way home. And I preached a message here last time. I believe it was titled Leaving Church Lost. I think it was the last time. And this Ethiopian eunuch was in the right place doing the thing that he had just, the worship scene, everything was good, doing what he needed to do, coming back. And he finds himself going in a chariot, and Philip runs his chariot down and sees this Ethiopian eunuch reading out of the book of Isaiah, where he's sitting there and reading as a lamb being led to the slaughter, all of that thing, and he begins to read it, and the Ethiopian, Philip, gets in his wind and says, hey, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I understand except a man explain it to me, or except a man teach it to me? And the Bible talks about how he goes from goes throughout the Old Testament preaching unto him Jesus.
Amen.
throughout the Old Testament. And he begins to see, we see this conversation between these two people, Philip, the deacon, and then we see this Ethiopian eunuch. And tonight we see, when we get to our text, we see to where the question is arise, to where they come to this specific body of water, this pond, in the middle of a desert. In the middle of a desert, there's just a pond. Think about it. In the middle of the desert is all of a sudden this pond, and all of a sudden they pull this thing going by it, Brother Blake, and he says, what doth hinder me to be baptized? What hinders me? Why? What do I got to do? What do I got to do? And can I tell you tonight, this is fresh off the oven. Glory to God, I love it. But can I tell you tonight that it ain't changed. The formula to be baptized ain't changed. And so tonight I want us to look at the importance of baptism. Amen. The importance of baptism. How many believe baptism's important? I hope everybody believes that the believer's baptism. What is the believer's baptism? We take it as an outward sign of an inward change. Amen. We're letting people know, Brother Steve, that, hey, that I've took on the image of Christ. I've took on Christ, and I'm picking up my cross, and I'm dying to myself daily, and I'm following Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to do my best day in and day out, but we're going to fall. I know that. But friend, our object is to have our eyes upon him and to follow Jesus. Amen. And we do that in the believer's baptism. Amen. So there is true importance in believer's baptism. And I thought about it as I was studying today. Is in order for us to see the importance of baptism, we got to know what baptism is. So what is baptism? What is baptism? Some folks believe it a little bit different, and we're going to get into that. But the word baptism is derived from this Greek word called baptizo. Baptizo means to immerse or to submerge completely under. When you read baptized in the Bible, you'll see to where it'll be a bapto or baptizo. And baptizo means to completely submerge an individual under the water. And that's what we, as Free Will Baptists, the baptism of immersion is what we, you and I, as Free Will Baptists, we don't believe in the sprinkling of the water. We don't believe in just dipping your hands in the cups of water and sprinkling an individual. We don't believe in the infant's baptism. We don't believe that an infant, why? Because they don't even know, right? We under that. So we don't believe in the sprinkling of the baptism. We believe as Free Will Baptists the full immersion, the full submersion of baptism. Amen. Turn with me, because I want to point you to Scripture. My new converts, we went over this the other night, and few weeks ago. This was our second topic in our new converts class, and it was in the baptism. We talked about the assurance of salvation, and then we went into the believer's baptism. Romans chapter number 6. I'm just going to read the first 5 verses. Or we'll just keep reading until we feel like quitting. What shall we say then in Romans 6? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, Paul writes. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How can we be dead to sin and still live in sin? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Therefore, this is the picture. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, listen, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. knowing this, that our old man, I love it, I'm telling you, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. You say, what do you mean? We believe in the immersion, the full immersion of baptism. What does that mean? It means first we believe in the immersion baptism, meaning to be surrounded by water. And just like anybody who is dead, they are laid back. So when you are laid back in baptism, we're about to experience it. When you are laid back, you are about to be immersed into the pool of baptism. The water's here. You're surrounded by the water, signifying the immersion. And you are being lowered. Then you go to that place to where your body physically does what? Goes under the water, correct? The water, you go all the way under, amen? That's what we believe, amen? And then we would call that submersion, completely under the water, significant. Number one, the first one being the death. Number two, the submersion being the burial. Can you see the picture now? Being completely submerged, and somebody is buried, they are laid under the ground. Amen? In our day and time. And then, hey, thank God. Thank God for this emergence. What does that mean? To come up out of the water. Amen, Brother Donald. To come up out of the water. When you're raised up, you're submerged, and then all of a sudden, you're raised up to walk in the newness of life. Significant of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You and I, we don't serve sin no longer. Amen. Amen. The he that is dead is freed from sin. Amen. What is baptism? As Free Will Baptists, that is what we believe true baptism is. Does baptism save an individual? No. Baptism does not save. I hate to say this, but it happens at every church. Everybody that gets dunked in the baptistry, in the baptism pool, they might have a profession, but guess what they ain't got? They ain't got no possession. They may profess Christ, Brother Donald Boone, but they don't possess him. And you know what happens when they go into a baptism pool and they're lost? They just get wet. Amen. They do what they do every day, I hope. You just get wet. You just go under the water. So we don't believe as Free Will Baptists that baptism truly saves. You would be amazed. Be amazed. Anybody, and David, you remember when we used to, the knock doors. And you would hear this sometimes. People would come out, Brother Josh, and they'd say, well, I've been baptized. You'd present the gospel with everything you had and tell them about Jesus. They say, well, I've been baptized. And then you like, all right, okay, was you born again? Was you born again? Was you born again? What is baptism? That Romans 6, 4 through 5 is truly baptism. And we see that here in our text, the baptism of this eunuch. Let's go back to our verse, Acts chapter 8. Go with me. And he commanded the chariot in verse 38 to stand still. And they went down both into the water. Two people. Amen. Two people. And they went down into the water, both into the water. And he baptized him. Amen. Both went into the water. And when they were come, listen. This is a true example of full immersion, submersion. Brother Charlie back there in the back. This is an example. Because he says this, and they, when they were come up out of the water, don't sound like sprinkling to me. Amen. But when they were come up out of the water, amen, that is what baptism is. Who, number two, is baptism for? Who is baptism for? Acts chapter 8, verse number 37. He says, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, amen, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe Brother Skip, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. If you was to go to the 1 John chapter number 4, we see in this book, Brother Mike Howe, he's going to know where I'm going, brother. Everybody that's in our converts class, I stomped this down. I beat this dead horse to death. But 1 John, you see to where John begins to give a description of his authorship, and he begins to tell that which is from the beginning, which we have heard with our ears. He says, I've heard him. He said, that which I've seen with my eyes, that which I've looked upon, and he says, that which my hands have handled. He said, I'm just not telling you something, Brother Donald Boone, that I don't know nothing about. Amen. He said, I'm telling you about something that I've seen, that I've heard, that I've touched, and that I've just sat back and that I've gazed upon him, just watching him move. He said, that is who I'm talking about. But he says this. He gives these marks of what we would call the marks of true believers in Christ Jesus. 1 John, write it down, chapter 4, verse 15, reads this. A mark, the number one mark, if you don't got this mark, it don't matter. Baptism won't matter. Nothing else will matter. It says this, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. God dwelleth in him and he in God. Amen. If God dwells in me, guess what? You're saved. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. You're a true believer. And here we see in this depiction of this conversation between Philip and the eunuch. And he says, what hinders me? And he says this, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. See, friend, it just ain't half in and half out. Amen. Amen. It just ain't half in and half out. You can't straddle the fence. I heard something one time that the devil owns the fence. And I began to look, and sorry, I'm going to use my phone because I read something that was, man, it was so amazing. Miss Jawan's going to know, anybody in here that does any canon, you'll know what I'm talking about. But as I was studying that word baptizo and the baptizo and the bapto, all of those things, this gentleman gave a great example of a believer being baptized and using that word baptizo in that sense, that word in the Greek where we draw baptism from. But he says this. He says, the clearest example that shows the meaning of baptizo is in a text form from the Greek poet and physician Nicander, who lived about 200 B.C. It is a recipe for making pickles, my God, glory, and is helpful because it uses both words. Amen. Listen now. Listen. It uses both words. Nicander says that in order to make a pickle, the vegetable should be first dipped, bapto, into boiling water and then baptized, baptizo, amen, in the vinegar solution. Both verbs concern the immersion of vegetables in a solution. But the first, the boiling of the water, the bapto, hey, it's temporary. Amen. But listen to this. The second, the act of baptizing the vegetable produces a permanent change. Think about a pickle. My God. I said, glory. I ain't never shouted over a pickle. I like them too. But you think about that. Anybody in here gardens that cans, you know that what is a pickle? A pickle isn't just a pickle. It's a cucumber. Amen. Oh, glory to God. I felt the Holy Ghost on that, Brother Robert. But a pickle now, a pickle, you go out there and you pick it off the vine and you may wash it in the water. You may boil it. And it, guess what it'll still be? It'll still be a cucumber. Amen. But you take that vinegar and you take that brine, as people call it, of that garlic and all of those peppercorns and the peppers and the onions, and you take that thing and you stuff them down in that jar, Brother Robert, and you take that solution. Oh, God, glory to God. Hey, you take it and you submerge some pickles in that thing, and I'm going to tell you, you let that thing sit on the counter, and all of a sudden, I'm going to tell you, in about a day or two or a week or two, you won't pick out a cucumber no more. You know what you'll have? You have a pickle, amen. Glory to God. Amen. That when you go down, just like in you'll walk in the newness of life, Brother Donald Boone. Hey, just like that pickle, you can't be the same. Amen. You cannot be the same. You're professing to the world through this baptism that, hey, I ain't the man I used to be. I ain't the same. I'm different. Why? It ain't because of me, but it's not I that lives, but it's Christ that lives inside of me. Amen. We see this. We see that the baptism is for true believers an example of the conversion of Saul. We see this just over in the next chapter. Verses 17, as Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands upon him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest hath sent me, that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. I believe it's important tonight. I believe baptism of the true believer is important. The only one that can truly be baptized, that truly will walk in the newness of life, is if an individual has been baptized. I lost all my notes now. We look at the importance, but we see why is baptism important. I'm trying to hurry, preacher. Why is baptism important? Baptism, we take upon this name called Christian, right? What is Christian to be? Christ-like. So we are to do what? We are to imitate Christ. Amen. Amen. We are to do the things that Christ done and the examples that he left for you and I to follow after. Amen. Amen. If you was to go to the book of Matthew, chapter number 3, Matthew chapter number 3, we see an individual by the name of John the Baptist. Amen. He's sitting there. He's sitting by that wayside, and he's waiting down in that river baptizing, and all of a sudden, out steps one. Amen. I'm in Malachi. But all of a sudden, out steps one man, and he says what? Behold the Lamb of God. Amen. And he says this. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. What an example. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. And comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, amen, went up straightway out of the water. Amen. Went out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened up unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You say, well, why did you say that, preacher? Well, Jesus did it.
Come on.
Jesus did it.
Amen.
The Son of God did it. So much more should we. Amen. An example left. But not only that, but we see in Matthew chapter number 28, over just a few chapters, we see this, the Great Commission. Amen. And Jesus came unto them talking about the disciples, and he tells them, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He commands it. Amen. He commands us to do this thing. You say, why? Well, John 14 and 15, I'll never forget it, rings in my mind because David, I remember him teaching a Sunday school lesson on it. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if we see God do it and he tells us to do it, what do you think? That's not a suggestion, but it's a command. Why? Because he said, go and do these things. Baptism tonight is important, and I hope that tonight that you see that is truly important. The true meaning of baptism is not to be saved. It's not that baptism truly saves you, but it's an outward appearance of an inward transformation. Amen. But then we notice that it's for the believers. It's for the believers. And we saw why it was important. Why? Because Jesus gave us an example to follow. And then all, not only that, but he commanded us to do so. So baptism tonight, don't just think about it as just, oh, well, these kids are just up here getting wet, or whomever's getting baptized tonight, they're just getting wet. No. Amen. No, it's symbolic. And it's telling the world that, hey, that I'm choosing to follow Christ. Amen. I'm choosing. And so you know what our job as true believers are? To do what we all ought to do one for another is to hold each other accountable. Amen. Amen. And it's the same way with the baptism. When you say, take them under your wing. Take them under your wing. Show them how to live. Teach them how to live. Show them the things of God. Amen. Let them see it in you. Amen. Amen. As we get just a simple song of invitation, if that's all right, preacher. Just simple song of invitation. I don't know where your heart is tonight. I don't know where you stand with the Lord. But today I buried a friend of mine, watched his earthly body go into the ground this afternoon at about 2:30. A great friend of mine, a great man of God, one that loved Jesus. Brother Charlie was there and maybe some others. But little did they know, Brother Charlie, that on that Wednesday night that everything was good, everything was fine. He was in the pool playing with his kids, had a smile on his face, doing something he hadn't done in a long time. That night, or that early that morning at 2:30 in the morning, he would go to meet Jesus. He would stand before an almighty God. You say, why are you saying that, preacher? A crowd this size, I would dare to say that somebody's lost. Somebody's lost. Maybe you've been baptized. Maybe there ain't been no inward change. Friend, just that water in that baptism pool won't get you there. Jesus said, I'm the door to the sheep. The way you're going to get in, anybody that comes any other way, is a thief and a robber. The way you're going to get into the sheepfold is through the door. That door is Jesus Christ. It's the only way to get to heaven. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks.